listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Professor Ravi Kumar. Professor Ravi came to Bhagwan's fold as a young boy in 1969. He then joined the erstwhile Sri Sathya Sai Arts and Science College in Vrindavan as a student in 1974. In 1981, Swami appointed him as a faculty member in his Vrindavan College. Currently, in addition to being an associate professor at the Department of Chemistry in Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, he is also the warden of the Vrindavan campus. In this talk, he narrates some of his personal experiences with Swami, which shows Swami's omniscience and omnipresence. This talk was delivered on the 22nd of October 2017 at Dharmakshetra as a part of the Samarpan program. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the talk, we have some soulful songs by overseas devotees. And with that, over to Professor Ravi Kumar.
It gives me a very nostalgic feel to come back to Dharmakshetra. I had come to Dharmakshetra long back, twice with Bhagwan, in the year 1975 when I was a student, and in the year 1988 when I was a research scholar. And so when I come here, various points in this place evoke a lot of beautiful memories. It's always delightful to dwell on the memories of the Lord. The scriptures talk of four beatitudes. They talk of salokyam, that is, being in the same world as the Lord. Samipyam, coming close to the Lord. Sarupyam, getting the likeness of the Lord. And sayujyam, becoming one with the Lord. In fact, these are the four steps that one goes through. First, the privilege of being contemporaries of the Lord. Among the millions of stars and planets and galaxies that you have, to be born in the same loka as the Lord, salokyam, one of the greatest privileges that one can get, salokyam. And to be born on earth and to come to the physical presence of the Lord, samipyam, is too great a blessing to imagine that it happened because of some punyam or something like that. It must be the Lord's mercy that brings you close to Him. When you live with the Lord, when you see Him, when you look into His eyes, feel His love in your heart, you cannot but adore Him and want to be like Him. That is sarupyam. And then you have sayujyam. You want to merge in the Lord. You don't want to be separate from Him, because that is the sweetness that the Lord is. Actually, if we take life, life is like water. Insipid water, which is there in a glass. There is divinity present as sugar at the bottom of this glass. When the avatar comes, the avatar is like a spoon, which stirs up the sugar which is there at the bottom of this life of yours and converts your entire life into a beautiful syrup. Life is no longer insipid. Life is not something that you just have to live, somehow manage to live. It becomes so beautiful that you are looking forward to meet the Lord at every turn of the road. Every moment the Lord has something beautiful to give you. As they say, the Lord is full of joy, anand. And when you live your life with His love saturating your life, nothing can be more blissful. Life becomes a celebration. It's no longer somehow we have to live this life. No, it becomes such a celebration. But don't get me wrong. Don't think that the moment we come to God, there are no problems, there are no difficulties, there are no troubles. In fact, all this will come, maybe in greater measure. Now, when you come to Swami, your problems become more. Your troubles become more. The reason is, when the teacher is very good, the question papers become tougher. Because the Lord is sure you will pass. He has taught you, so you are going to pass, and therefore troubles will come. But what look like troubles for others are actually wonderful opportunities for us. Because one more chance you get to remember Him. And that is why living the life of a devotee is the greatest opportunity. It is the greatest blessing. But as I was telling you, how do we come into the Lord's focus? How do we get this privilege of allowing Him to enter our heart? We talk of entrance exams, right? We have so many entrance exams. You want to, today, if you want to go and join a first standard or a nursery, they say there's an entrance exam. Of course, it's more for the parents than for the kid. The entrance exam is just to see whether the parents can afford. But when we want the entrance exam, when we want the Lord to enter our heart, we make it so tough for Him, really. We make it so difficult for Him. And not only that, we are not satisfied with one entrance exam. He enters our heart, then we say, okay, one more CIE, continuous internal evaluation, one more slip test, one more mid-semester. We keep on testing Him like that. But the Lord is patient. And He decides to save you. It's that. So how did He enter my life? Our life, I should say. In fact, one of the most wonderful experiences is to go around devotees and ask them, how did you come to Swami? And you know, every story will be so unique. Every story will be so beautiful. The Lord comes in unique ways. And just like only He can be. You know, there are millions of flowers in this world. You see, every single flower is unique. Just like that, when the Lord enters your life, that the entrance itself is a beautiful experience. But it all starts in a very worldly sense, in a difficult way. In fact, when we first came to Swami, it was like this. My father had fallen sick. And this was in the 60s. Having fallen sick, he went to a doctor. We had a family doctor. In those days, we had doctors who could look at you as an individual. Today, you don't have doctors who look at you as an individual. They look at you as a part. There's an ear doctor, an ENT specialist. An ENT specialist who will only look at your left ear. We have that kind of specialization. But in those days, there was family doctors. And these doctors used to be so good. You could go to them for any ailment. And this doctor whom we had, a family doctor, gave my father a mixture. Medicine used to be called a mixture those days. They had huge bottles in which they had some color liquids, you know, fluorescent pink, fluorescent green. And the doctor would write something and give, and there would be somebody to dispense, a compounder. And this compounder would mix it and give the medicine. Now, the beauty of that medicine was, once you drank it, you would never want to fall sick again. It would be so bitter that you would say, no, even if you have fever, you will say, no, I don't have fever. It used to be so bitter. So, the compounder gave the medicine, my father drank that for 3 days. And after 3 days, he was fine. A week later, again he got temperature. Went to the doctor. The doctor gave some other medicine, some other combination. And this happened for 2-3 more times. Now, in those days, the doctors used to be very humble. Now, this doctor looked at my father and said, look, this is something beyond me. I think I should refer you to a friend of mine who has started an institute called a Silver Jubilee Institute. So you just show him, go to him, let him examine you. So the doctor examined my father and said, we will have to send a tissue for biopsy. So there was a procedure. Tissue was sent for biopsy. At that time, we didn't understand that everything that happens, happens in a very, very beautiful way. When you put the pieces together later on, then you understand what it is. We didn't understand what the Silver Jubilee Institute was all about. We only knew that the doctor had inaugurated this on the 25th anniversary of something. When the results came, the doctor called my father and said, you know, I must tell you this, you have cancer. In those days, telling you had cancer was almost like telling, pack your bags, one-way ticket. It was like saying, call your relatives. And so my father became very scared. And the doctor said, you have only a few more days to live. A doctor goes to a patient and says, I have good news and bad news. Which do you want to listen? The patient says, okay, sir, I'm already suffering. Give me the good news. The doctor says, you have 3 weeks to live. Oh my God, if that is the good news, what's the bad news? I should have told this 2 weeks back. So that is how it is these days. So the doctor told my father, Mr. Tyagarajan, you have a few more days to live. But don't worry, I have a friend of mine who has opened a nursing home. It was called Surgical Nursing Home. He has just returned from England. He is an FRCS, a very brilliant surgeon, and he's up to date with the latest techniques. So he should be able to handle this. So you go and meet Dr. Kalappa. So my father went and met this gentleman, a bright young man, all of 35 years, and a very pleasant person. My father talked to him, and the doctor said, oh, don't worry, I will cure you. I'll just do a procedure. They don't tell you operation, because operation is scary. So procedure, and it will be over in a few days. So my father said, okay. He got admitted, and the doctor did the operation. Father came back home. And after coming back home, after a week he had to go for a review. When he went, the doctor said, I think you must come back next week again. So when he went the next week, the doctor said, you know something, the first operation has not worked so well. We'll have to have one more operation. So father said, okay, I mean, you don't have a choice, right? So he said, okay. So my father went again and got admitted, got operated. Now this wonderful surgeon, you know, he was the best surgeon in Bangalore. You know, another way of saying, he's the costliest surgeon in Bangalore, okay. So he did the operation, and father returned back to home. A month later, again, he had to be admitted, and the operation done. And the doctor was all confidence. He said, no problem. You know, it's only when you have problem, you say no problem. Did you notice that? When somebody has problem, you say, don't worry, there's no problem. Means he has a problem. So the doctor said, no problem. I know there are a few doctors whom I know here. Without meaning any offense, there is a Subhashitani in Sanskrit, which talks about doctors. This must be almost 1,000 years old, the Subhashitani, which correctly depicts the situation in today's world. I don't know if it was like that time. It is prophetic though. It says, Namaste astu vaidyaha yamarajasya sahodaraha. Namaskar to the physician. He is Yama's brother. He is not just a brother, he is an elder brother. Why? Yamaha harati pranam. Yama, poor fellow, does his duty, takes away your life. Vaidyaha harati pranam dananicha. He takes your life and pickpockets you. This is of course in a lighter vein, but what I mean to say is, see, when a person goes to the doctor, one side you have the worry of the pain and the suffering. Another angle, you have this mental stress whether you can afford. Whether after you finish with the operation, you will have a house to live. Whether you will have a scooter to drive. Because you may have to sell that to pay the doctor. So this continued. My father had 4 operations, 5 operations, 10 operations. It went on like that, like Sachin Tendulkar score. And it kept on increasing. I remember I was a small boy at that time. All that I could understand was, first my father was staying at home, going to the hospital, getting admitted, and coming back. After some time it became, my father was staying in the hospital and occasionally coming home. It was like that. So 10 operations, 15 operations, 20 operations, 25 operations. Now the doctor was sure that he can't handle this. So he called my sister. My sister was doing her MBBS at that time. He called her and said, I have something to tell you, something which I want to share with you. Your father is in advanced state of cancer. I have tried all that I know and it's not succeeding. I cannot assure you of anything. He is going to pass away any time now. So why don't you take him home? Let him at least die with all of you children around him, because we didn't have a mother. Let him be with you and let him pass away peacefully. Why should he be in this atmosphere of all this antibiotics and phenyl and all that? So my sister got him discharged and brought him home. You can understand the mental state of this sister of mine, who was the eldest in the family, who was herself a student. She had not completed her studies. I was the youngest. I had just joined school, I think, a couple of years before that. She brought my father home, but went to the office, went to the college in the afternoon, because she had to attend the class. Sitting in a corner, she was very depressed. If father too passes away, who will take care of us? Because he was the only breadwinner in the family. And if he also dies, who will take care of her? That was the agony. And she was so depressed, sitting in one corner, crying, when a classmate of hers came to her and said, Kamakshi, I know what's your problem. But I also know somebody who can cure your father. So come today itself, we'll go. So after the classes, the Bangalore Medical College is just next to City Market, which is a bus stop. So they went, and from there was a direct bus to Whitefield. So they went to Whitefield, had Swami's darshan. And because the buses were not frequent those days, like somebody said, in those days, we had a lot of roads and no buses. Today, we have a lot of buses and no roads in Bangalore. So, the sister came back home very late. In those days, it was not common for young girls to go out like that and come back late. So, my father asked her, what happened? Why are you late? Then my sister said, Father, I had gone to see somebody. He is God. He will cure you. You come. My father said, What are you speaking? Then she explained to him, see, I went to see somebody called Sai Baba. He lives in a place called, in a suburb called Whitefield. And he's known to cure a lot of such illnesses. He'll definitely cure you. You come. My father, in a typical fashion in my mother tongue, podi podi idella namba maten, he said. You know, it's typical, like, I don't believe all this nonsense. His logic was, see, I have always been a devotee of God. It is not as if I was an agnostic or did not believe in God. I was always a devotee of God, and I have always been honest and sincere with my work. So if that God whom I have worshipped all these years is not going to save me, do you think this new Sai Baba is going to save me? No, no, I don't believe all this. And my sister tried her best. Father wouldn't budge. He said, no, no, my time has come. Leave me. But when God decides to save you, He decides to save you, that's all. It's not because of any good things we have done, merit we have done, not because of some achievement of ours that He is going to save us. He is going to save us because He is mercy incarnate. He has decided to save us, that's all. That's why in Lalita Sahasranamam, there is a beautiful phrase, Sarvajna Sandra Karuna. Compassion, causeless compassion it is. The compassion is not because of some cause, some achievement, some tapas you have done or something. So, a week later, a letter comes from my father's office. He was working in a central government agency. And the doctor says, the letter says, please come to the office personally. You have not come for 6 months, so we don't know whether the salary is really going to you. So physically you have to appear and take the salary. My father was in a terrible plight. He was struggling, but at the same time he could not avoid going because salary had to be taken. So he went, traveled about 35 kilometers, caught 3 buses and went to that place. And when he went there, the director who was from Delhi called him, spoke to him and said, how are you now, Tyagaraj, and all that. And my father told him, the doctors have said that any minute I will die. Then the director said, you know, how did you come? I came by bus, sir. I had to catch 3 buses and come. Okay, do this. You know, there is a professor who has come from abroad who wants to see somebody called Sai Baba. I don't know Bangalore much. Since you know Bangalore very well, take this person with you. It seems it's in a place called Whitefield that Sai Baba resides. Take him to that place. Let him look at him. And then on the way back, the car can drop you at home. What a bait. You might tell your daughter, I don't believe all this nonsense. Can you tell your boss? You can't tell your boss. And as they say, it is a 2-in-1 offer. You can't refuse the boss, and the boss is saying the car will drop you at home. Wow, that is another attractive offer. So father said, okay. So from there, they went to Whitefield. They had absolutely no idea of Swami, Darshan, Darshan timing, nothing. So as they entered the gates of Vrindavan, they found that Swami was returning after Darshan. He was going through the inner gates. At that time, Vrindavan was full of trees. Very beautiful place. And this other professor who had come said, it is so peaceful here. We have come so far. Let's sit down here for some time. And one of the volunteers came to him and said, you know, Baba comes for Darshan only in the evening after 5. So you can go and come back in the evening. They said, we will sit for a few minutes and go. They were just sitting there when suddenly the gates opened and Swami came out. Swami came out straight to where they were sitting. Straight. And as he was approaching them, even when he was about 10 feet away, Swami was talking something. So my father immediately looked at the professor. You know, he is the devotee. I don't know him at all. It must be to him. But Swami was talking in an Indian language. Swami was talking in Kannada. Swami is asking, why did you have 25 operations? No, my father knew it must be him only. The doctor is saying that you will die because of cancer, isn't it? No, your cancer is cancelled. Swami said, created prasadam and gave it to him. And my father was so thrilled that he knew somebody telling, for the first time he's come, and Baba walks straight to him and says, your cancer is cancelled. How does he know I have cancer? How does he know I underwent 25 operations? If he knows this much, he must be powerful enough to cure me. See, that was the faith. And Swami blessed him and returned back. And returned to the mandir. My father came home, he told all of us, and we were all jubilant. 1 week later, he had gained enough strength to go back to office. And he was completely cured of cancer. He went back to work and he continued his work. In fact, he retired in that job. He came to Swami. He became a Samiti convener. He came to Swami one day for an interview with many people to Prashantinilayam. And Swami looked at them and said, tomorrow I'll talk to you. Now the next day happened to be my father's retirement day. So my father said, if Swami has told he's talking to me, I'll be there. And so he stayed there. Swami called them for interview. He looked at my father and said, what are you doing now? My father said, Swami, I'm supposed to retire today. The government has asked me to go on a deputation to Iran. Swami said, no, times are not good there. Don't go now. I will give you a job. And so Swami took him to Vrindavan in the Sanatan Sarthi press. My father joined in the press. He worked there. When the press shifted to Prashantinilayam, my father also shifted. He stayed there and he lived. And when he passed away because of old age. How old was he? He was 89 years when he died. Swami had not only cured him, Swami had extended his life by 39 years. Some years back I had gone to England. I was speaking in Cardiff to a group of surgeons. When I finished speaking, one of them came to me and said, you know what a miracle this is, Ravi Kumar. You know what a fantastic thing. You know, I have been a surgeon for many years, for almost 2.5 decades. He said, when we try to prolong a person's life, a cancer patient's life by a month or a couple of months, we think it's a great achievement. And Swami cured your father without any chemotherapy or anything like that, and gave him a lease of life of 39 years, which is possible only for God. That's what he said. Now, how did my father die? That's also very interesting. You know, he was staying in Prashantinilayam. He was staying in the second floor. And even at that age, 89 years, he used to come up and down almost 10, 12 times in a day. My sister used to ask him, why are you going down, up and down? He said, no, exercise I need. I need exercise, I must go. So he used to go up and down, go for darshan. Perfectly, he was fine. On the last day, it so happened that for a week towards the end, I happened to stay with my father. Because my sister's husband had passed away in Bangalore, and so she had to come there for the rites and all that. So I was staying with him. I asked Swami. Swami said, okay, stay. And so I was cooking for my father. I don't know much of cooking. A few years before that, Swami was pulling my leg. He said, "You must get married." I said, "Swami, I am happy, Swami. Why do you want me to get married?" Then Swami said, "No, no, who will take care of your father?" I said, "I will take care." "No, who will cook for him?" "Swami, I'll cook for him." "Do you know cooking?" "No, Swami, I will learn." So, on that remark of Swami, I learned cooking. And in fact, one day Swami asked me, a year later, "Hey, have you learned cooking?" he asked me. It was a bouncer. I said, "Yes, Swami, what can you make?" he said. I said, "I can make chapati, I can make rice. I can make that, you know, that tomato onion curry. Easiest stuff. And upma I can make." Swami said, "Ah, adi chalu," he said. "That is enough." So the last week I was staying with my father, I started cooking. After 2-3 days, I got fed up of my cooking. I told my father, "I'll get you from the canteen." He said, "No, no, you're cooking very well. You cook." So I was staying with him. It was a Sunday. And I was to return. I told my father, "After 6 o'clock, I'm going." So my father came down. As he was getting into the car, he told me something very sweet. He said, "Shall I get you a pair of clothes?" he asked me. I said, "Why?" "Swami has given me lots of pairs of clothes." Then he said, "No, no. You took care of me so well," he said. I said, "You took care of me so well. You brought me to Swami. Can there be a greater blessing a parent can give a child than this?" But he said, "Okay, can I at least pay for the taxi?" I said, "No. Why should you pay for the taxi? It's my privilege to serve you. Swami has given me this privilege of serving you. That is, I'm very, very thankful to Swami for this." But he was not satisfied. You know, the next day, my sister was staying with him. One sister who is a primary school teacher. She had gone to Bangalore and returned. So he gave her some money and said, "Put this in that fellow's account and come and tell me you have put." So that was on Monday. On Tuesday morning, he got up at 4:30. He finished his bath. He went for Vedam Nagasankirtan they have. He finished darshan, came back to the room. And as he came back to the room, he had his breakfast. Now, small details are so beautiful, I tell you. It was the last day of his life. As he was going out, he told my sister, "I'm going for darshan." And on the door of our house, you know, there is a small mirror. My father had a habit of looking into the mirror and asking my sister, "Is my hair properly combed?" You know? And my sister knew it was a practice. Okay. So she said, without even looking at him, he says, "It's properly combed." And he came out. As he came to the first floor, he met somebody. That person asked, "Uncle, where are you going so fast?" He said, "I'm going for darshan." Came down to the ground floor, looked at the Ajur Mandir. Swami had just moved into the Ajur Mandir a couple of months before that. It was in 2006. He did pranam, said Sai Ram, and fell down. And the beautiful thing is, now I'm going to tell you something which even I didn't know for 11 years. Which I got to know only a couple of, maybe 3-4 months back. There was a Sevadal person on duty. Now this gentleman, his name is Sukhdev Singh. He used to come for duty to Prashantinilayam from Shimla, from Himachal. This year, in the month of March, when he had come, he called my sister and he said, "Are you not Tyagarajan's daughter?" He said, "Yes, uncle, I am Tyagarajan's daughter." He said, "I will tell you something that I have not told you all these years. It is a secret I kept within myself. But I want to share with you because I had a near-death experience recently and I want you to know this." So she said, "What is it?" He said, "When your father said Sai Ram and fell down, I was there on duty there at that gate, West One. And quickly I ran to that police chowk which is there and told them, you know, somebody has fallen down there. And they said, what can we do? You go and tell in the Sevadal office. He said, so I ran, and when I came back, I was surprised to find Swami standing there. And Swami was blessing your father. And I was all agitated, more agitation, because Swami has now come. I am not on duty. I mean, I should have been there. And Swami turns to him and says, why are you so agitated? Everything is fine. Everything is arranged, Swami tells him. Sab kuch arrange kiya hai, Swami tells. And then, Swami asks him, tumko kya chahiye? He says, Swami, humko moksh chahiye, Swami. Swami says, mamta chodo, moksh milega. And then he said something which is very strange. He said, Swami created a lingam and gave it to me. And for 11 years, I have worshipped this lingam. I wanted to tell you. My sister was surprised, shocked, and delighted naturally. In the meanwhile, Swami returned. In the meanwhile, somebody had gone up to find out who this person is, and he found my sister. He told her, some person looks like your father has fallen down. So my sister came with a glass of water. She sprinkled the water, no reaction. In the meanwhile, somebody came with a stretcher. My sister didn't know all this Sukhdev Singh, whatever happened. She had not known. She didn't know. So she was agitated. She didn't know what to do. And this person brings the stretcher. She asked, how did you know he has fallen down? He said, the ambulance has just come to park. I found somebody has fallen, so I brought the stretcher. So they took my father to the hospital. And the doctor said, he's gone. And all that happened in a very, very short time. So this is how we got to know. But I was being a science student. Naturally, you know, you want evidence, right? My sister told me this. I asked my sister. She rang me up and said, you know, this gentleman by name Sukhdev Singh told this. I said, did you get his address? No. Did you get his phone number? No. From which place is he? Himachal. I said, Himachal is a very big place. Okay, so we went to Dharmashala this year. We tracked him, and we found that he is from a village called Gellore. It is 100 kilometers from where we were staying. We put Google Maps, searched and went to his house, met him, and that is the photograph you see of the gentleman. He is a BSS soldier. And then we asked him about the lingam. Swami has given you a lingam. In the beginning, he was very reluctant to show. Jo kuch diya, Bhagwan ne diya, he said. He said, no, we want to see it. And then, I don't know what moved him, he took out the lingam and showed, you can see that lingam in my sister's hand. That is the lingam Swami had given. So this is how, that's why I always say, when you have God on your side, he not only takes care of your welfare, but also your farewell. Takes care of your farewell, he makes it such a beautiful experience. You know, when you get to know that Swami was present, how can you feel bad about such an experience? You feel this is the greatest blessing that anybody can get. I have had many opportunities to speak about this experience in Swami's presence, in Swami's physical presence. One day when I finished this and sat down, Swami said, "Sariga cheppaledu. You didn't tell this properly." Now this is an experience which if you wake me at midnight, I can tell you without missing a single full stop comma. So many times I've narrated this. I'm surprised. But how do you ask Swami, Swami, what did I miss? So I just waited and Swami said, you missed out an important point, he said. You know what that is? You did not tell this. When your father went to that surgeon, what did he tell? Swami said. Swami, he said that he will cure my father. Swami said, do you know this? The surgeon died before your father. Of course, because the surgeon's son-in-law happened to be my sister's colleague, she had known that he had passed away. But we had never related this way. And that is how we came to Swami. He chose to enter our lives like that. That's how we came to Swami. So another day, when I was narrating about this, I said, so that is how we came to Swami in 1968. Swami looked at me and said, 1968 kadu, 1963, he said. Now, when you are with Swami, you know that you cannot inform the all-knowing. You don't correct him and say, no, no, you are mistaken. Because whatever he says is the truth. All that you can pray is that he throws light for even our dull intellect to make out what it is. I didn't say anything. Then Swami said, Ravi, you remember the day your mother passed away? He asked me. I said, very clearly, Swami. I was just about 4 years and a few months. Then Swami said, what happened that evening? I said, Swami, I don't remember what happened that evening, specific evening. Do you remember anything? Swami said. I said, yes, Swami, I remember my mother's body. I remember the sari she was wearing. I remember that everyone was sad around me. I was very moving around happily. Then Swami said, your cousin came to you and spoke to you, no? He said. There was a cousin of mine who was just about 2 months elder to me. And as they were preparing to remove my mother's body, he came to me and said, hey, you know something? They are going to take your mother in procession. I was excited because we lived near a temple. And you know, those temple processions were a common sight. It was full of jubilation and firecrackers and music and Nadaswaram and all that. So, I thought that was the procession. I was very excited. Now, this cousin of mine said, but one thing, they won't bring her back. Moment he said this, I burst into tears and nothing would console me. So, an aunt of mine took me to her house, which was just across the street. Swami is telling all this, okay. Took me across to her house. As soon as I entered her house, I saw Swami's photograph there. I asked her, yaar in the mami? I asked. Who is this auntie? She said, idu mami illapa Swami. It is not an aunt, this is God. She said, you pray to him, he will take care of you. Swami told this and said, do you know, Ravi, from that time I am taking care of you. So you came to me in 1963. For those who wonder whether Swami is present in the photograph, this is enough. You just have to go and tell him in front of the photograph and he's listening to you. I've had a number of experiences of this. Maybe some other time. Okay, as life progressed, I joined a school. This school was very famous because it was 100 years old. In fact, when I was in my 8th standard, I joined the school and the school was celebrating its centenary celebrations. The school was very special for me because my uncle had read, my father had read, my uncle's cousin had read and so on. Long list of people had read there. So they said, this is the school for you. Now, you know what happens to institutions over 100 years. This school had, the structure was intact. The building was there. But the discipline had deteriorated. In fact, the first day I went to school, I found in the school that there were some people who looked young enough not to be teachers, but old enough not to be in the class. There were 4 people. And as soon as we finished our morning session, these 4 boys called all of us new entrants and said, we want to talk to you. We thought there must be some seniors inspecting or something. So we went to them and they said, look, we want to tell you something very important. Pay attention. You see, across the ground, what do you see? They said. Now, this school had many specialities. One of it was, across the ground, there were 3 movie theaters. And it was those days when movies didn't come to you in your mobiles. You had to go to a movie theater to see a film. So they said, you see those 3 theaters? If you want to learn English, go to an English film. If you want to learn Kannada, go to a Kannada film. If you want to learn Hindi, go to a Hindi film. If you go there, you will get Kannada or Hindi or English, whatever. If you sit in the class, what will you get? Except sleep. Nothing you will get. So every day, go and attend there. So we used to give attendance here and attend there. This had become a practice. You know, as was mentioned, I was in the first batch of Balvikas. So on Thursdays, white dress, vibhuti and all that. And I would go to the samiti and sing bhajans. And the Balvikas teacher would even tell the others, you should all become like Ravi. And I used to think, poor fellows, they become like me. But nobody knew this part of my life. So every day, in a week, we used to see 7 films. Because there are 6 working days, but on Saturday we used to go for a morning show and a matinee, because one day will get wasted. Education has no, it should be continuous, so we used to go every day. And my father was very busy. See, after this got cured of cancer, when he went back to the office, he found that they had assumed that he will not return. So they had promoted a lot of people who were junior to him, above him. So he had to take orders from them. He was heartbroken. And he was working very hard. So he would go at 7 in the morning, come back at 8 in the night. I was leading this kind of existence. My sisters were also students, so they didn't know about this part. And so life was going on merrily. I thought it would be like this. And I would continue my education like this. Nobody would know. Naturally, my grades were not good. But you know, the school had one beautiful tradition. They would just not send details of your marks to parents. They would only say pass, fail. So suppose you get pass, you can always say you're first rank. Who is going to know? Managing life like this, one day I went to Vrindavan with my father. And Swami came out for darshan. When Swami came out for darshan, he looked at my father and said, go inside. So my father was very excited, got up and said, come, we'll go. And I looked at my father because I understood that this was an interview. Somebody had told me, you know, when Swami calls you for an interview, it's a fantastic thing. I said, what is fantastic about it? Interview means they'll ask you questions, you have to answer like that. He said, no, it's not like that. When you go for an interview, Swami won't ask you any question. He will just tell you the answers because he knows everything about you. This was too scary. Suppose he starts giving answers. So I was hesitant to go. And my father was very excited. And he was tugging me. And you know, the moment Swami calls you for an interview, everyone looks up at you. Such a good fortune, lucky fellow, like that. So I went in. And we were standing there. Swami finished darshan and came back. I was the first in the row. Now there's a straight line in front of the interview room. I was the first in the line. Swami looked at me, patted me on my cheeks, and looked at my father and said, good boy, he said. That day, I tell you, I was in the 17th heaven of bliss. Because if Swami tells you're a good boy, everyone is going to tell you're a good boy. Okay. The second thing was, I said, even Swami does not know. Till now, somewhere lurking in the mind was that worry that suppose he knows, and now he has confirmed he doesn't know. So I was very, very happy. The moment I thought like this, Swami called my father and asked, where are the other members of the samiti? Swami, they are sitting there. Go and call them, Swami says. Sent my father. Then he called me. Come here. He said, good boy. He said, I smiled. Okay. And then Swami asked, good boy? So what was a question mark? What was a full stop now became a question mark. So I said, I kept quiet. Are you a good boy? He said. I kept quiet. You know, in Balvigal they teach you all the silent sitting and all that. It comes in handy. Such moments, I was thinking, I am not giving any details. There was no RTI and all those days. So Swami asked me, are you a good boy? Where were you yesterday? I said, Swami, yesterday was a Saturday. See, unnecessary information. Yesterday was a Saturday. Swami said, Nak telsu. I know. Where were you yesterday? I kept quiet. Why volunteer unnecessary information? Nen cheppana? Swami said, shall I tell you? I was thinking inside, why not? If you know, why not? And Swami said, you are in Ajanta theater. God, you were with your classmates in the last but one row. My first shock was, oh, he knows about Ajanta theater. I mean, there's a theater called Ajanta theater. He knows that. And second thing, he's telling the exact coordinates where I was sitting. And then Swami says, all three of you were watching Katti Patang. Asha Parekh, Rajesh Khanna, you want any more information? At that moment, through the corner of my eye, I am seeing my father coming. Why would I want any more information? My worry was, he might give some information to my father. That he might really tell him that my life is a katti patang. Aimless, rudderless, being buffeted by all kinds of winds, going hither and thither without any direction. The moment my father came, Swami looked at me, smiled, looked at my father and said, he is a good boy. At that moment, it was not a time for information, it's a time for transformation. The time had come in my life. You know, Swami says, what's the difference between information and transformation? When you go around and ask people, who are you? Who are you? That is information. When you start asking, who am I? Who am I? That is transformation. So Swami told that, and then by that one act of Swami, this is what he did. He tied my heart to his lotus feet and gave me a direction in life. So that the same winds lifted me in the sky. So that's what happened to my life. Swami called us for interview after that. That is one interview I don't remember anything about. I kept on asking, can there be somebody like this? Can there be somebody who is omniscient and so loving? He could have told my father, you know, this fellow, do you think he's a good fellow? He goes all the time to films. He could have told him that. And my father's reaction would have been, he would have fallen, Sashtang Pranam, he would have done and said, Swami, you are God. That would have been the reaction. But what did Swami do? He cared more for my honor, my heart, than for my father's worship. So I said, if somebody is so loving and so omniscient, he must be God. And so the rest of my life, I am going to spend only serving him and worshipping him. He is my God. I don't know about other gods who are there in pictures in my house. This God, he is walking amidst us. He is my God. And from that day to this day, he has been the center of my life. And what a beautiful journey it has been. When I look back at the tapestry of my life, I see from that point onwards, there are golden strands which have been interwoven into my life. Everything has become such a beautiful experience. That is why Swami is worshipped in the Ashtottam as Sugnana Marga Darshakaya Namaha. He shows you the right path. In fact, when on the 25th of May 1947, he wrote a letter to his brother. Seshamraju Garu had written a letter to Swami saying that, Satya, you don't know the world. People are coming and taking you to their places. They are all selfish. Don't get pulled here and there. Don't get fooled. Then Swami wrote a letter which is actually addressed to all those who love me, to all of us. It was actually a blueprint for the avatar. In that Swami says, Akila manavulaku anandamuna gurchi rakshinchundute deekshanaku. I have taken a deeksha that I will give happiness to the entire world. Not happiness, ananda to the entire world. Akila manavulaku, it is not this family or that family or that community or that nation, but the entire world. Then the second part, in fact, that is what happens, isn't it? The super specialty hospitals are places which rid you of dis-ease. So they give you happiness back into your life. So akila manavulaku anandamuna gurchi rakshinchuchundute deekshanaku. Sanmargamunu vidi charenchu varula cheipatti kapadute vratamunaku. Those who stray away from the right path, I hold them by the hand and bring them to the right path. That is what Swami did. That's what Swami has been doing. In all our lives, that is what Swami has been doing. Somebody asked Swami this. Swami, why do you say, I will hold them by the hand and bring them to the right path? Is it not enough if you simply say, see, this is the right path, go along this path? Swami said, two reasons. One thing is, they are blinded by ignorance. So when you show a blind person a path, what do? You hold him by the hand and lead him. The second thing Swami said, the path to the divine is a very narrow path. He said, the path to hell is an expressway. Okay. 6-lane highway, 8-lane highway. Why? Too much traffic that side. But the path leading to heaven is a very narrow path. So I have to hold by the hand and bring you to the right path. And that is how Swami led me to this path. And he gave that Kati Patang, which was my life, a direction by tying it to his lotus feet. That became the turning point in my life. And when you pray to the Lord, Raha Dikavo Bhagwan, he shows you the path. In fact, I didn't even pray, but he showed me the path. And the path, of course, is the path of light, the path which leads you to light, the path which will turn you into light. See, that is the beauty. He turns your life itself into a street lamp. Swami used to say those days, I take street dogs and make them street lamps. Okay, take street dogs and make them street lamps. So that is what Swami has done. Okay. So I joined Swami's college in 1974. To be very honest, I have just started. Okay. So I came to Brindavan College, joined for my intermediate course. Now, as I was doing this intermediate course, you know, there are various fears that come into your life. My greatest fear was mathematics. You know, nothing of it made sense to me. And I used to be very scared of this. There was a professor who had retired from Andhra Pradesh. He came and taught us, Professor Ranganayaklu, a brilliant professor. But it didn't enter my skull. In fact, I decided to shift from the front row to the back row, but give others chance. And you know, always there are people in the class who will shake their head so much that the teacher thinks everyone knows. They will shake on behalf of everyone. So there were some classmates of mine that, and the teacher had a short sight. So he could see only the front bench. And he thought that we have understood everything. He used to take mathematics class. Finally, the end of the year came. Mathematics exam is nearing. The blood pressure, temperature, everything is rising. But you know, in those days, the beautiful thing was, before the exam, you can go up to Swami's room and take namaskar. You can straight walk up to Swami's room. When I studied in the hostel, we had just about 65 students. So Swami knew each one of us by name. Not only name, he knew the dress that we used to wear. He will ask, why is that fellow wearing this fellow shirt? You know, that thoroughly Swami knew. And he would also say, oh, dobi sariga tisko raleda, I used to say. So Swami knew every one of us, and we could walk into Swami's upstairs anytime. So that day I went, and I told myself, one namaskar, and this can be fixed. So I went there, and to take namaskar. As I entered the room, I found that Swami was in Rudrakar. He was very angry. There was a caretaker of Vrindavan Ashram by name Mr. Ram Brahmam. You know, portly gentleman. And he was a terror for everybody. In fact, from the mandir, if he says watchman, if he says, the watchman will get up and tie his shoelace, wherever he is. But this man in front of Swami is so humble. And Swami was scolding him. Swami was scolding him, I don't know for what. And just at that moment I entered. And I straight away came into Swami's radar. Swami said, Noora ikada. He said, come here. So I came. Then he said, you tell me, how much money do you get from home? Simple question. I said, Swami, I get 65 rupees every month. 100 rupees every month. Endukanta, he said, why do you get so much money? Now today 100 rupees, if you give it to a beggar, he'll look somewhat at you. In those days 100 rupees had some value. I said, Swami, 65 rupees mess bill. I thought I had tided over the difficulty. Swami said, 65 rupees mess bill, he said. I knew the poor warden was trying to raise that from 65 rupees to 70 rupees for months together. And Swami said, nothing doing. Finally, he convinced Swami one day. And he came to the hostel very happy, and he asked for the mic to be arranged, and the AVC boys were arranging. Then somebody came and told, sir, Swami is calling you. So he went back and Swami asked, Re PM Roju, yes, what is tomorrow? Swami, tomorrow is Ugadi, Swami. Do you want to give boys this bad news on Ugadi day? Swami said, nothing doing, keep it at 65. So for years together it was 65 rupees. And then what happened? Swami said, okay, 65 rupees. What do you do with the other 35 rupees? Give me an accounts cheppu. I thought mathematics exam. That is a bit scary, and he is asking for accounts now. So I said, Swami, haircut. How many times do you have a haircut in a month? He said, only once. Then I tried hair oil, soap. And Swami asked, how many soaps do you use in a month? So at the end of it, I could manage only about 9 rupees or 10 rupees. You know, in those days, things were cheap. I wish it was like today. You could have said one soap and it would have covered the entire thing. And Swami said, 25 rupees yen chestunnav? Then he scolded me. Left and right he scolded me, said, your father is struggling there to earn and you're wasting money like this. Very bad. Misuse of money is evil, he said. And just at that time, the bell rang for the exam. Now the next building was the college in those days, next to Mandir. So Swami looked at me and said, exam unda? He asked, do you have exam? I looked at Swami strangely. I said, is it an ordinary exam? Swami is asking it so lightly. I said, Swami, mathematics exam only. Oh na, breakfast chesava? He said, did you have breakfast? No, Swami. Go to the hostel, eat your breakfast and go to the exam, he said. One thing I had learnt, when Swami tells anything, just do it. No questions asked. So I did namaskar, went to the hostel, had my breakfast and went back. Went back to the exam hall. Now when I went to the exam hall, outside the mathematics teacher was waiting. And he said, Ravikumar, what happened? 20 minutes late. I said, sir, big story, sir, I'll tell you afterwards. And he said, yes, go quickly, otherwise they won't give question paper. If you go after half an hour, they don't give. So I went inside the exam hall, and the question paper was given. I looked at the question paper, and wow. I immediately prayed for the welfare of that examiner, whoever set that paper. He had set out of 13 theorems, no, 8 theorems he had given that year. And theorems, no, you just get by heart and vomit. So I said, oh, it's very easy, I can finish this. Started writing the first theorem. Somewhere along the line, you know, these mathematicians have the strange habit of putting, let x is equal to something. That something I could not remember. What is that something? I'm looking at the watch. It's already 1 hour. And first question I have not answered. 8 questions to be answered. So I went to the second question. But my heart was with the first question. So second question also successfully I spoiled. So I went to third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, 8th question I was writing when the final bell rang and the invigilator asked paper like that. I looked at my paper. The paper was full of debris of fractured theorems. Not one of them was complete. I came out of the exam hall. And the mathematics teacher was standing outside. I was touched. I told him, sir, I am very touched. Yes, why? I said, sir, in no other college, the teacher comes before the student for the exam. You came before me. And you have waited 3 hours. And after 3 hours, you are waiting to find out how I did. How kind of you, sir. I am very moved. He said, no, not like that, Ravi Kumar. Don't jump to conclusions. He said, if you pass, we'll get 100% results. That's why I waited, he said. So I sat with him. And I told him, sir, this question I have answered this much. This question I have answered this much. Told him everything like this. And finally told him, sir, will I pass? He took a hanky and wiped his brow. And he said, you know, this paper is written by 40,000 to 50,000 students. We don't know where your paper will go, who will correct. But one thing is sure. If the examiner to whom your paper goes, on that day his wife has not scolded him, he is in a good mood, and his children have not troubled him, he comes there, he may even give you 35 marks. In those days, 35 was the pass mark. So I said, wow. I came back. So there is a chance that I will pass. But you know, that was the last exam. And the whole holidays, inside, you know, I'm so worried. If I fail, what will happen? Now, luckily at that time, Swami brought me to Dharmakshetra. We had come for a drama, Bhajagovindam drama. It was in the year 1975, May. That was the time when the stupa was inaugurated. The Sarvadharma Aikya Prema Stupa was inaugurated. So, on the last day, Swami took us for sightseeing. You know, we went all over Bombay with Swami. And then, as Swami is getting down from the bus near Juhu, in the night, Swami said, you all go directly, because we were staying at the Bharatiya Vidyabhavan campus, Andheri West. And Swami was coming this side. Swami said, you all go directly. He looked at me and said, no Puttaparthi ki raah, he said. Come to Puttaparthi. So Swami was coming to Vrindavan, going to Patti immediately. I came to Vrindavan, went to Patti. And we had bhajan that day. After the bhajan, Swami called us all upstairs. You know, when I was a Balvika student, one day Swami had called me for interview. And it's a very long this thing, but at the end of it, Swami told me, I'll perform your Upanayanam. So I was very happy. So I was waiting for Swami to perform my Upanayanam, and in my house I was the eldest son among all my cousins. So my grandfather said, Ravi, please tell Swami that Swami should perform so that the others, you know, there's a long chain waiting, long line, so you tell Swami. So I said, Swami, please perform my Upanayanam. Swami said, I'll speak to you in the evening. So in the evening, Swami called me for interview. When Swami called me for interview, Swami asked me, hey, Ravi, nikem kavali, he asked. What do you want? People like Ravana and all had prayed for, done tapas for so many years for the same question. You know, God appears in front of you and asks, what do you want? And then, of course, they have planned for this thing and all. I had also planned whole holidays. స్వామి అసలు ఏం కావాలి? ఐ సెడ్ స్వామి మ్యాథమెటిక్స్ లో పాస్ కావాలి స్వామి. ఎస్ ఫార్ మీ అట్ దట్ మోమెంట్ యు నో దట్ వాజ్ ద బిగ్గెస్ట్ బూన్ ఎనీవన్ కుడ్ ఆస్క్ ఫర్. స్వామి మ్యాథమెటిక్స్ లో పాస్ కావాలి స్వామి. స్వామి సార్ అది అయిందిరా, దట్స్ ఓవర్. వేరేం కావాలి? వాట్ ఎల్స్ డూ వాంట్? ఐ సెడ్ ఐ డోంట్ వాంట్ ఎనీథింగ్. ఫార్ మీ దేర్ వాజ్ నథింగ్ బియాండ్ దట్ అట్ దట్ మోమెంట్. వన్ మంత్ లేటర్ ద రిజల్ట్స్ కేమ్ అండ్ బికాస్ వి వేర్ అ స్మాల్ గ్రూప్ ఆఫ్ స్టూడెంట్స్ ఇన్ ద హాస్టల్ ది ప్రిన్సిపల్ హ్యాడ్ గివెన్ అవర్ మార్క్స్ కార్డ్ టు స్వామి. Swami would read our marks, he would read our names and give it to us. He said Ravi Kumar and gave it to me. The next boy was Santosh. He said, Santosh, I was looking aghast because it's written passed. So Swami looked at me and said, Chusava? He said, did you see? Yes Swami, I passed in, passed. I said, hey, mathematics mark chudu. He said, see the mathematics mark, it was 53. Then Swami tells me, etla 53 vastundira? How can you get 53? You have written for 35 marks. No, he said. I didn't say this. I didn't tell him at all about it. The teacher had told me, under all those extraordinary circumstances, you'll get 35. Swami said, 35 krasnav kada? Etla 53 vachindi? I said, I don't know. You have done something, Swami, I told him. Swami said, yes. Inka mundu baga chadu. Study properly. To Swami who has given so much, words are not enough, but what else do we have to offer him? In fact, there is one beautiful saying which Swami used to say in his discourses. Kanniru tappinchu Sai, Sai wipes away your tears. But actually, Kanniru teppinchu Sai, he brings tears to your eyes. When you talk of him, how can you not be in tears? He means so much to each one of us. The question that we have to ask ourselves is our life worth saving? Let us make something out of our life so that the Lord's efforts will not go in vain. Let us offer our lives completely to Him. That is why this program is called Samarpan. Completely we have to offer ourselves every thought, every word. Even if we do that, maybe for 100 births, we would still not have expressed our thanks to him. But at least let us try. This entire life, let us serve him. After all that he's asking is for us to save ourselves. So this is what we need to do. And every opportunity I get to talk about this, I think is one more flower that I'm able to place at Swami's feet. I always tell Swami, I have nothing to give you except this. Please accept it with love. Thank you. Sai Ram.
Mukund Murari Murari Gopa Mukunda Murari Murari Gopal Gopala Sai Sai Nandala Gopala Sai Sai Nandala Prashanti Nivasi Nivasi Nandala Prashanti Nivasi Nivasi Nandala Antaratma Jyoti Jyoti Nandala Antaratma Jyoti Mukunda Murari.